technology. We're thankful that we have people that are present, not absent, and so they were able to determine that something needed to be done. Father, we are thankful for your presence. You are here. You are the one who guides us and guards us. Without you, we are nothing. Whether we believe it or don't believe it matters not. We are nothing without you. Without your breath in us, we are kaput. It's just as simple as that. You are the God who gives us life. We came out of you. You are the natural environment in which we are sustained. Fish was brought out of water when you recreated the world. And when it is pulled out of water, it dies. Trees came out of the land, and when they are uprooted from the land, they die. We came out of you, and when we are not in you, we die. It's just the way it is. So Lord, grant us the wisdom and the insight to know where we belong and to whom we belong, that we may live life to the fullest. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to see you all this evening. And I celebrate everyone that is here for the first time. May God's hand be upon every one of us. Amen. The Word of God says in the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, it makes a remarkable statement there. It says, "Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord is giving you." What a remarkable passage of scripture. This is the prophetic statement by Moses. As I sought the Lord again and again concerning the service this evening, he kept on saying the same thing. Found in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and the 27th verse. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? The First Kings passage is a remarkable passage because here in Deuteronomy, God prophesied through Moses that when the people turned to start worshiping other gods, that the heavens were going to be shut. And the earth was not going to produce for them. Interesting. But hundreds of years came and the people were worshiping other gods and it kept on raining. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. And the people assumed that it was okay because, well, everything's still happening the way it should. We're still having the rains. And we're serving the fertility god, Baal. Huh? And we're getting our crops. All is well. Nothing bad is happening. I guess Moses missed it that day. Of course, he missed it, you know, because, you know, God is a God of love, and God would not want any bad thing to happen to us after all. We're looking for ourselves. We want to see and feel what we are worshiping. Until the man called Elijah showed up. And Elijah reads the word of God and says, what the word of God says and what we are experiencing isn't the same thing. God says if we start serving other gods, there's not going to be rain. So he walks into the palace of Ahab and he makes a proclamation. In the first or second verse of chapter 18, he comes and he says to Ahab, he says, there is not going to be rain. Actually, sorry, not 18, 17. He says, there's not going to be rain or dew in this land, but according to my word. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I what? Stand. That's a key statement. I am standing in the presence of God, the God of Israel. And I'm his voice right now. And I say to you, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And he walked out of the palace. King thinks he's joking. This guy is a joker. Let's arrest him. No, forget. Leave him alone. The guy is crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Walks around with his crazy clothes. And from that day, it stopped raining. And not only is there no rain, there's no dew. Drought had hit the land. Everything is a mess. He's gone for 3.5 years. And there's no rain. There's no dew. And God says to him, and I cannot give you the full message this evening. At some other time we'll visit this passage again. God says to him in chapter 18 and verse 1 and 2, go show yourself to Ahab and tell him that it's going to rain again. So he goes and he shows himself. Now we come to verse 27 because there is a battle. And this morning we talked about the war that is coming. If you weren't here this morning, I encourage you as strongly as I can to please listen to the message from this morning. Because things are not the way you think they are. And you need to take sides. You need to know where you belong. Because if you don't, you become a casualty. So, he comes before the people of Israel. They put two altars together. I'm getting closer and closer to preaching a series on altars again. The prophets of Baal and Asherah had their altar, and he said to them, the God that answers by fire, let that God be God. And the prophets of Baal start doing their incantations and their chanting and their whatever it is that they needed to do to call down fire. Now, I don't think they were dumb and stupid to think that they could call down fire. I venture to say that they had the capacity and the ability to do it. Until, someone say until. Until a man of God showed up and said, today, your firepower is cut off. Today, you're going to shoot blanks. Today, there's not going to be any demonic activity because I, the prophet of God, who stands before God, I'm here and nothing is going to happen in your camp. So they start calling on fire. Nothing. They start cutting themselves, bleeding themselves as a sign of self-sacrifice and debasement before their god Baal. And nothing is happening. And here comes the prophet of God. And he says to them, in verse 27, he says, the prophet of God comes to them. He says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. When he says, oh, he's pursuing, means he's using the washroom. cry out. Something's going to happen. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. This is commitment. How committed are you and I to the service of God? Any little thing we start crying out. Any little thing we start quitting. Any little thing we start fainting. The Word of God says, if you cannot run with men, are you going to run with chariots? If today, right this very moment, your commitment to God in your relationship is not as steadfast as it should be, and every little thing causes you to quake, every little thing causes you to complain, every little thing causes you to gripe. Oh, poor me. God did not this and God did not that. Why is this? Christians are so filled with whys, they don't see the Z. The end. Why? Yet they have these guys cutting themselves. Blood is gushing out. Why? They want to draw power. They want to see power manifested. They wanted to see Baal release fire. They had experienced it before, or else they would not be doing it. People don't worship demons because demons have power. That's not why people are devil worshippers. That's not why people are not giving their souls over to the devil so that they can become wealthy and so that they can become famous and whatever else. There is power on the dark side. Because the dark side was created, the agents that operate in the dark side were created by God, and they have supernatural power also. They just cannot do what they want to do any which way without the authority of God and your authority operating. There's power out there, man. Power that will cause your hair to stand up like Don King's. power that will cause a goosebump on your body to leap over each other and say, what on earth is happening here? But you see, God is not a show-off. The thing about God is that when he shows up, every other power bows. See? But he doesn't show off. He doesn't come and say, look at me, look at me, look what I can do. No, God just does what he wants to do, and just it's normal business. We don't have to get so excited about it. We just do what we got to do. But the devil, he's a real flash on a hot plate. And today it's not working. They're doing everything and nothing is working. He says, and when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. First thing he did, he repaired the altar that had been broken down. You cannot repair an altar that wasn't there. So once upon a time, there was a commitment to God. But people had gone away from God so much that nobody cared about the things of God. When you leave things alone long enough, they begin to collapse. And the altar that was broken down meant the people of God were not sacrificing. Here comes the man of God. He takes the 12 stones of the altar. He puts them together. He says, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Israel shall be thy name. God prevails. That's going to be your name. And I speak to us as God's people today. We shall be the people that knows the God that prevails. Amen? He put the stones together. And then he begins to dig a trench around this altar. And he puts water. But the word of God says, watch this, it's interesting. He says, and with his stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain, what? 2 measures of seed. So in essence, the water was the seed. Why was the water the seed? Because that was what was precious. They've not had rain. And water was the precious ingredient. And he pours it. He says, and he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the what? Third time. And they did it the what? Third time. Remember what I taught you by the Spirit of the Lord about three. Three deals with your past, your present, and your future. So every time they poured that water, he dealt with the past issues, he dealt with the present issues, and he dealt with the future issues. What are we sowing unto God? Are we dealing with our past, present, and future? Word of God continues. And he says, and the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering, the evening offering sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came in and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know, that these people may know, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Had they repented? Not yet. But what is he doing? He's speaking the language of faith. He's speaking the what? The language of faith. If you're going to win the battle, you've got to speak the language of faith. Just like David would say to Goliath, today I'm going to feed you to the birds and to the animals and all the Philistines. We must have the language of faith. How do you have that language of faith? You have that language of faith when you have come to the place where you've decided what the will of God is, because you are in agreement with him. Any wonder he says to them, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? How long? And the question God is asking us today is very simple. Long story short, the fire came down. Amen? The fire fell, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the wood, consumed the stones, consumed the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. In essence, God consumed everything. Why did God consume everything? For such a long time, they've not given him anything. It's not like God is hungry, but God is saying, hey, now this is what I'm talking about, are people who are willing to give themselves. And it started with the voice of a prophet who asked them this simple question, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? God is asking us the same question today. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve God. And if Baal is God, then do that. Don't be, you know, tiptoeing around the things of God. If you're going to be a Christian, be a Christian. If you're going to say, I love God, do it. Stop playing games. And that's a question God, the statement God is making to every one of us today. Stop playing games. Get serious. You cannot serve two masters. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. There are too many of us that are busy serving two masters. They are believers. I don't know whether to call them believers. But there are people in church. There are people in church around the world who are speaking the name of Jesus on one hand. When they get home, they've got some little idol in their homes. they appoint libations to. You say, not me, not me. Okay, okay, not you, not you. Okay, not you. What about other kinds of idols? Other things that will trump over God when it's time to make a decision. When it happens, just look at it. You are praying, and there's a television in the background, in the kitchen or wherever, and you're praying, Lord, I thank you for your grace. Break loose! Hey, what's going on? Oh, no, that maybe not that one. Maybe not that one. What about, Father, I give you praise, and the phone rings. What about that? Did that just stick over? I'm not trying to guilt us, you understand? I'm just trying to say that many times we are very willing to point the finger that way and not understanding that we may be doing the exact same thing, because that trumps. I believe more in that than what God says. That's a challenge of life. God says, love your neighbor, and say, not this time, not this time, not this time. This guy is going to find out that my name is M-I-K-E, Mike. Today, I'm going to Mike you. Oh, yeah. You become, what's his name, Tyson? Iron Man Tyson. Pow! Okay, Lord, Father, I repent. No, not that way. How long are you going to hold between two opinions? Is God God or is he not? Am I going to believe him or am I not? The fact is, every aspect of my life and your life is founded on our obedience to God. Today, the government tells me I cannot preach certain things. I cannot say this, I cannot say that. Excuse me? You're going to stop me from saying what God says so that I don't love people enough to tell them what the truth is? Hit the road, Jack. That's what I say. What are you going to do to me? It's going to be temporal. You punish me? You imprison me? That's temporal. I am going to love people enough to tell them what the truth is. You squeeze me and you try to block me every which way you want to block me. You want to dry up my finances. That is going to stop me from preaching the word of God. You're a liar, devil. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to say what God's word says, because I cannot serve God and serve mammon. I'm going to serve the only true God. And I'm going to love people. Oh, you're intolerant. Based on what? Based on what do you call me intolerant? I didn't say I didn't love you. I love you in spite of your lifestyle. I'm not being judgmental or critical. I'm just saying what is. And you're not going to change my language. You know, the other day I saw somebody saying, As the person said, I'm a trigender. I said, he said, just like a triangle, I am a trigender. Do you want me to celebrate your mental issues? You've lost your mind. You want me to confirm that? If you are so-called, and bear in mind that you've heard me say before that how they feel is exactly how they feel. It's their feeling. And it goes back to the issue of fornication and adultery. And so when a man comes and says, I'm a woman, that's exactly how he feels. It's a mental, psychological, mental, spiritual problem that was orchestrated because down the line, John mated with Mary, and Mary mated with another John. But when Mary was mating with another John, Mary was mating with the John and Mary that was in the other John. And so, because both of them become one flesh. Yeah? They become one. Okay, the male and the female become one. So when you go to the next level in your promiscuous ways, you are mating not only with that person of the opposite sex, you're mating with the male that they mated with. And pretty soon you become bisexual. Huh? And pretty soon you're carrying the imageness of all of those diabolical spirits in you. Now you get confused. You don't know where your right or left is. So I acknowledge you've got that problem. But let's deal with the real issue. It comes back to coming to the precious blood of Jesus Christ and asking God, deliver me from my iniquities and set me free. Help me, God, I need help. And God helps people who make the commitment that they want to truly be free. If you are a male and you say you are a female, don't take any hormones to make you female. You already are female. You said, you said, I'm female. So just become the female that you are. And if you cannot become that female and you need help, I don't need help to become a male. I'm a male. Hello? So why do I need help to become female? That becomes unnatural. That's not the natural me. That's why I'm trying to become that. That's why I'm trying to take estrogen and whatever else. Or I'm a female, I'm trying to become a man, so I start taking all kinds of testosterone and stuff like that so I can become male and pumping myself with all kinds of stuff to become something that I'm not really. The fact that you're trying to help yourself to become something means that you are not it. That only makes sense. So stop it. I was born this way. You were born on what way? The church needs to speak the truth in the face of all contradictions to help people wake up. There's so many of our children that are surgically ruining themselves, cutting off their parts, and then coming out and saying, I'm so sorry I did this, but now it's not reversible. And we have a government that is pursuing that lie and persecuting and coming against people that will stand for truth. The devil's a liar, and that government is a lying government. You know, we're going to sue you. Find the money that you're going to sue for. God is calling every one of us to take a stand for righteousness, to help the people that we live in with day in, day out. God is not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. In Matthew 6 and verse 24 again, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and materialism. You cannot serve God and the spirit of Babylon. You cannot serve God and avarice. You cannot serve God and pursue riches, which the word of God says, some have pursued after and have pierced themselves. You cannot do that. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life. Stop worrying about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on, what it says, don't worry about that. It's not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is your life not more than meat, what you're going to eat, and your body more than the raiment that you put on? It says, behold, look at the fowls of the air. They sow not. This is a remarkable thing about this particular passage of Scripture. It says the birds, and hear the Lord Jesus Christ, hear this. Because what God doesn't want you to do is place your faith in principles. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I'm coming. God wants your faith to be in God. Not in principles, not in patents, not in anything that you bring to the table, but on God. Amen? So he says, look at the fowls of the air, for they sow not. What does the word of God say to us? He says, sow, then you can reap. But he says, the birds, they don't sow. Neither do they reap. Yeah, because if you don't sow, you don't reap. It says, they don't sow and they don't reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? So when I'm talking to you, God is saying here about life and serving God, I'm not talking about the principles of giving and receiving. I'm not even talking to you about you praying, because that can be the principle you place your faith in. I have not prayed enough, that's why. It makes a lot of sense to the carnal mind. I didn't pray enough. If I had only prayed enough, as if God has, you know, some meter measuring or scale measuring the amount of prayer that will make things work. No, God answers your prayers even before you pray it. Even before you knew you had a problem, God, do you know how many times God has delivered you from a situation that you should have prayed about, but you didn't know that you should pray about it, and God delivered you and set you free, and you walked through that even without recognizing that you just came out of some serious problem? God watches over you. He's your keeper. So it's not about your praying. It's not about your fasting. And sure, those things are important, because certain things won't change without you fasting, like you walking in faith and believing God. Some things are not going to change without you fasting, and some things are not going to change without you asking. It says you have not received because you didn't ask. Those principles are true. But ultimately, the principle that is true is this: I have faith in God. And I do these things because God requires them of me. But those things are not what changes anything. Those things that God asked me to do are only God's way of bringing me to a place where I humble myself before Him. The praying, the fasting, the studying of the Word of God, all of that is just an act of me obeying. God doesn't need nada from me for God to do what God wants to do. He doesn't require anything from... What did He require from you for you in the first place? You didn't even know that you were deserving of hell. He was the one who saw that you deserved hell and came and gave Himself for your salvation. And all He's asking is you agreeing that you're a sinner and that He loves you. That's how you come to salvation. Everything God requires of me is a clear direction to bring me to a place of humility. That's it. All God is asking is to help me be humble. Humble yourself before God, and He will exalt you. Praise the Lord. Are we on the same page so far? Okay, my brother. He says, are you not much better than they? 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? No. By thinking through it, you add at least 18 inches. Which of you can do that? Can God do it? Yeah, if He wants you to grow 18 inches, He can grow you up 18 inches, like overnight, like right now. Boom, 18 inches. You cannot do it. Do all the Pilates you want and do all the stretching. Stretch me this way and that way, pull me this way and that way. You're not going to do it. So which of you can do that? You can't. 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't even work. If you don't work, don't eat. Is that not what the Word of God says? But God's saying, listen, even though that principle is true, this is what I have to say to you. Trust me. Work is good. Work. But your faith must not be placed on what you toiled for and spun. Don't calculate your life based on what you can do. That is you serving God and mammon. Don't halt between two opinions. Make a decision. Do you believe me? Yes. Then follow me. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And when I think about the word ordered by the Lord, I see it this way. It's not just that God, you know, is making sure that your steps are in the right place, but he orders, you know, this is the step that he's going to take. I have ordered it for him, and he's going to step into wealth, into riches, into health, into favor. He's ordering my steps. He's ordering where my foot is going to land next. God, order my steps aright. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't want your steps, you know, stepping into the wrong thing, like the Bible says about the man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He happened to fall amongst thieves. That's not what I don't want that. Amen. I want God to help me, protect me, provide for me. And you know what, child of God? You don't need to learn a lesson that you already have an answer for. You don't need to learn a lesson that you've already learned. I think some of the temptations we go through are a result of us not willing to learn what God is teaching through life, through people, through the teaching of his word. Let's go further. He says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon with all his wealth, all the resources he had, was not arrayed as one of these lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see these pants I'm wearing? How much do you think I paid for these pants? Want me to shock you? $2.90, brand new from the store. Amen. If God is so interested to take me shopping, as he's done, guess what? He'll bring you to a place where you're shopping, where the big guys shop, and you paying Walmart or less price. And if you know how to put your things together, then everything you buy works perfectly with your wardrobe. You know, when people don't know how to give unto the Lord, they don't have the wisdom to shop properly. I think I'm dressed sharp, don't you think? But I don't think I'm wearing $100 right now. Because God knows how to clothe his children. He will clothe you when you know that he is the master fashionista. Huh? He will clothe you. I didn't wear the shoe today. But there's a shoe that I wear that it doesn't matter where I go in the world. It doesn't matter where I go in the world. people will stop and say, oh, those are great shoes. I didn't even pay $40 for it. But you think I'm wearing $2,000 on my feet. I didn't even pay $40 for it. God woke me up and says, get on this, showed me where to go. I went there and he showed me, take this one, son, take this one. So I bought the shoe, $30-something. I have three pairs now of this same shoe because it's an amazing shoe. It looks good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor, are we still in the message? Yeah, look at it. It says, he will clothe you. I'm still on point. Hallelujah. One day I went looking for the site. I couldn't find the site. It did not exist. And then when one was wearing out, boom, there comes the site again. And I go, what's you? Yeah, I got it again. So I got a second pair. Then it went off. Then it showed up again, and I saw the same shoe. I got it again. I kept it. I said, I'm going to keep this one for a special occasion. Don't get jealous now. Huh? Hallelujah. Look, Mom and I have gone shopping, and things that people paid $2,000 for, we walked out of the store paying $20 or less. In the real store, designer store, all of a sudden it'll cut the price down. Bang, we walk out as fast as we can. This is not like they do in California where they go rob as much as they can, and if as long as it's under $950, you can steal it. Nobody stops you. No. God's provision. He says, I'm going to clothe you. Oh, ye of little faith. I'm going to clothe you. Believe me for that. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. After all these things do the Gentiles seek. After all those things do the pagans seek. The people that don't know God, they seek those things. They're seeking for it. It says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have what? You have what? You have what? He knows that you have need of all these things, the clothing, the housing, the food. He says, I know you need it. I know you need it. So if he knows that I need it, what is he trying to say? He says, I know you need it. So if you want it, you don't have to run after it. My blessings are going to come. They're going to pursue after you, and they're going to overtake you. So I tell you, seek ye first. Put your order, put things in proper order. Seek ye first the purposes of the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And everything, all these things shall be added unto you. Praise the Lord. That's when you choose not to serve other gods. That's when you choose to serve the living God and surrender your life to God. He says, all these things, whatever it is that people are running after, is going to come to you. It's going to be added unto you. He says, take therefore no thought for the morrow of tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. It says, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself.
Oh, Suki Suki, this is so amazing. It says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to take care of itself for you. Huh? Let tomorrow worry for itself and make sure it makes certain that you are taken care of. Huh? Tomorrow? Yeah. He says, you seek me first. I've already given a command to tomorrow to make sure that you're okay. To make sure that tomorrow that you are fine. That your shelter issue is taken care of. Don't stop worrying about it, because when you start worrying about it, you take me out of the equation. But just trust me. I am the God who intervenes in every situation that concerns you, and I will do right by you, and I'll cause nature to do right by you. I'm going to make certain that everything lines up, because you have put me first in your life. I'm going to put you first in my life. That's what God is saying. The reason we're trapped is because we've not taken care of the altar of God. And we've served other gods, put our attention on other things, and the end result is nothing is working. God says, if you stop halting between two opinions, stop being double-minded. Well, I was raised in a Christian home, but, you know, things are hard, you know. I don't know what to believe anymore. You've got issues. Oh, I saw that priest, you know, he was not living right, so that's why I'm not. I don't believe it anymore. That's your issue. God did not say follow the priest. He says follow me. It's the people that know God that do exploits. Trust God. Is that enough? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everyone pray this prayer with me. Lord, help me to make the right decisions. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your capacity. I surrender my life to you. Help me to live uprightly, to believe you completely, to surrender to you completely. I declare today, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Holy Spirit, fill me through and through. Father, I receive your love, your loving kindness, your tender mercies. I do not halt between two opinions anymore. I choose you. I love you, and I despise the world and the things of the world. I believe that you are my provider. Help me to stay steadfast. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. If you prayed this prayer, and tonight you give in your life to the Lord, while all eyes are closed and all heads bowed, I want this to be a private time, and you are making this commitment to the Lord, and you're in agreement with the prayer we just prayed, just raise your hand so I can acknowledge you. I see all those hands. I see all those hands. You can put it down. Thank you so very much. I see all those hands. The Lord sees you. Now it is time for you and I to walk the walk
and not just talk the talk. Let us be fully surrendered unto the Lord. And may God help us fulfill our destinies. Amen. Praise the Lord. I bless you all in the name of the Lord tonight. I just sense in my spirit we need to have communion. I apologize. I didn't forewarn you about it. The Lord didn't forewarn me about it. He just told me now. So I'm telling you now too. Amen. But at this time, let us honor God with our giving. Come and release from your hand that which God has placed in your hand, and trust Him to continue to increase you and multiply your seed sown for His glory and honor. When we love, we give. Where God says, God so loved that He gave. A clear sign that we love is manifested in our giving to God. You never give to man. Anytime you give to a man, out of a pure heart, you're really giving to God. You're only giving to man when you give so that you can be seen and receive accolades for what you've done. And God's word says you've already received your reward already. Or when you give either directly to God, if you know, giving to God is actually giving to people. Because if I had $20 in my hand right now, and I say, I'm giving this to God, God doesn't catch it. God doesn't say, thank you, I got it. No, that's not how it happens. But when you do the will of God in impacting a life, you've given to God. He that gives to the needy has lent to God, and God will always repay. And we are all poor in spirit, and when we give for souls, we lend into God. We're in partnership with Him. So I want you to know that every time you give, it has to be purposeful. Amen? You're not following some principle. You're just loving God. Hallelujah. So did everyone get communion? You got it? Okay. Per the instruction of the Lord this evening, take of this body. And as you take of this body, receive healing for every aspect of your life. Let God impact every aspect of your life. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, know that Jesus Christ, by the stripes that He bore, established your healing. Know that He was wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement for your peace of mind was bestowed upon Him, and by the stripes of your you and I are healed. Take and eat in Jesus' name. The precious blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. He says He removes from us, as far as the east is from the west, our sins. He justifies us. He sanctifies us and makes us separate. And he causes us to walk in holiness. Jesus gave his all for our salvation, our redemption. As you take up this cup, may our commitment also be that we give our all to him and to the people that he has loved with an everlasting love. Take off this cup and drink. Thank you, Jesus. Could we just hear that song one more time as we wrap up tonight? You are holy. That was the last song we sang tonight. Let's just hear it together one more time. While we get ready for that, I want to thank God for Sister Jeanette.
You are holy.
Brother John Besson.
Holy,
Sister Ariel Minot. Mighty name. Amen. Have a magnificent week. Continue to pray with and for us. This week is going to be a busy week. Lots of crusades happening this week, reaching out to the nations. On Wednesday, there's going to be a mini crusade. On Saturday, a bigger crusade. And of course, Wednesday, we have Bible study, and Friday, prayer meeting. We need the continued infusion of grace to do everything God has called us to. I want you to know that when we are asking for support for souls, we're not trying to put a burden on you. If you ever feel burdened, just shut it off. But all I'm saying is, we need to reach a world. As a church, we have our own personal needs. But what is more important than anything is the people that we have to reach. So don't get offended. Just pray and hear from God what he wants you to do. Amen?
Amen?
You be forever thankful that you participated and partnered with God for the souls of men. Amen? God bless you. I see a young man here that I've not seen before. I'd like to say hello to him.